Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in destitute living. When he had spent everything, severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. Gladly, have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your commands. You have never given me even a young goat so I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of the Lord. So this is one of the most famous parables there is. As confusing as it is, it's very comforting and very recognizable. Every time I hear it or think about it, I can place myself in a situation where something like this has happened. I'm sure most of the rest of you can as well. I have several prodigal stories from my own experience. But there's one in particular that is more pertinent for sharing today. It was about this time of year, in 2010, this story takes place in Wayne County, Pennsylvania, mostly. I was living in Honesdale, Pennsylvania with my family at the time. I'd just finished 10th grade. And the fair was going on. My mother was up in Syracuse at a meeting, so it was my father and my siblings at home. And, well, I was a little bit of a rebellious teenager at this time. You see, the family was just about to get ready to move. We weren't to stay in Honesdale for another week even. So this was my last time in town, and I wanted to go to the fair. So I told my father that I would like to go to the fair, and he said, "Okay, I'll drive you." Now, a little bit of character building with my father. My father is one of the most patient and gracious persons I can ever describe to you. This is a person who, for the first 10 years after college, worked as a high school driver's ed instructor. he has the grace and patience of a saint. So he drove me to the fair, the Wayne County Fair. The most exciting thing there is the prized cow, but it's still enough time nonetheless. I got to the fair, Dad dropped me off, and Dad told me, I have to work early in the morning, so you should find your own ride home. And I agreed to that, and everything went well. So at the fair, I ended up meeting up with a few of my old friends. There was Buck Walter, who was the son of the Lutheran pastor on the road. There was the Crezzi and Majeski, just good old high school band friends. We enjoyed the fair. We enjoyed our time together. Each of us was looking at a new life transition, so that time was particularly precious. And we didn't want to leave it when the midway was closing and the fair was over. So Majeski has this little old beat-up Saturn with a 5-speed. It's a big deal for us then. So we decided that, well, the midway's closed. We should just keep going on an adventure. So the four of us piled into Majeski's little old Saturn and started off down the road. Now, to paint the picture a little bit more, this is northeast Pennsylvania with teenage boys. I can assure you this car did not have a complete exhaust. When we were raising trouble around the countryside, we were raising noise around the countryside in this little Saturn 5-speed. So we headed off down the road. We ended up over in Holly. Then for some reason we turned north. We ended up bouncing back and forth across the Delaware about 6 times. I swear I saw a Port Jervis, New York sign at one point there. And we finally started to make our way back into Honesdale. By the time we dropped off Lucrezi and Buckwalter, we were coming to my driveway, and it was nigh on 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So this parsonage was odd. The church owned all of the land on this block, basically. So there was the church, there was the office, and then the parsonage behind the office, but the driveway ran the entire length of the office. And because this car had such a loud exhaust, I didn't care to wake anybody up. So I asked Majeski to just drop me off at the mouth of the driveway on Church Street. And he did, and it was good. We said our farewells, and so on. But then as I walked down the driveway along the side of the office, I looked to see the porch light still on, and my father sitting on the back porch with a glass of iced tea, just waiting. Dad did not get to bed early that night. We ended up having a long talk on the back porch at 3 o'clock in the morning. A good long talk in which stories were shared, in which experiences were related, in which he told me of my cousin Aaron, who I didn't get to meet because, well, he had a rougher adolescence than I did, but as he was turning things around, he was killed by a drunk driver with several friends in a car doing just what I was doing that night. And in that, my father related to me some of the obligations that we have to our family, some of the things that we ought to do, what we ought to do to keep good relationships with our family, what we ought to do to maintain trust, what we ought to do not to squander the love and trust that our parents endow us with, as they would an inheritance later on even. I'll say, that story places me very much at the center of it. Just as in most of our interpretations of the prodigal son parable, we place the prodigal son as the center of it. Now, these are most of the common interpretations that are held. Like any parable, there are so many ways to interpret it. Traditionally, we summarize this as God loves us so much that even when we've run away, we're still welcomed in with open arms. That's such a valuable interpretation and means so much. There are yet other interpretations from the liberative schools or the postcolonial schools that look more so at the second son as a primary character and say, well, this is a pragmatic tool for these people at this time to say that life isn't fair and it's acceptable because life isn't fair, this is your lived reality, and this is how you live within that lived reality. There are yet more schools of thought. I had a great resource this week that made sermon really easy. Henry Nouwen's The Return of the Prodigal Son, A Story of Homecoming. Here, Henry Nouwen goes through each character and gives them their due. The prodigal son, the older son, and the father. And what is described about the father is of particular interest to me here, because it's different than what most of us think of. Imagine this parable through the father. And imagine the father as the center of the parable and the center of what's going on. This father is a very gracious, patient character. This father does not actively prevent the children from doing harmful things to each other. But yet, the father is able to pick them up from whatever situation they're in. I very much appreciate that children's book that I read during the children's message, because the father notes that I didn't realize you were lost as well to the older son. Because really, that's what the story is about. It's about finding your way back to where you ought to be and where we ought to be in relationship with each other. And it seems to be about the father in this story recognizing when someone needs to come back, when they are lost, and when they ought to return to a spot where they can function. Henry Nouwen, through an analogy of such, made me think that, well, gosh, this seems like an interesting discipleship path. This whole parable seems like a path to discipleship and how we ought to live as Christians as we seek to follow Jesus. All of us can identify with this parable. All of us have done something where something has gone horribly wrong and we need to return to a place. All of us can relate to this parable in that we have seen something that doesn't seem fair when somebody else is offered grace and compassion, but we don't think they should be, and are then reminded that we are called to be gracious and compassionate. All of us can relate to the children in this parable, but how do we relate to the father in this parable? What does it mean for us as Christians to have this grace and compassion such that we can bring people back round to where they ought to be? What does it mean for us to look at these lived experiences, to look at the reality that we have all been in each place in this story, and be able to then offer again grace and compassion as we bring people back into the reality of what it means to live in Christ in this world? I think that's what it means to be a disciple. I think what it means to be a disciple is to look at those that we interact with every day, whether it's here, whether it's out on and be able to offer grace, to offer a listening ear, that long conversation at 3:30 in the morning, or to just throw a party when there needs to be a party. What it means to follow God and be a disciple is to have this grace to know that everybody has been there. Everybody has had an experience with each character in this parable, and that everybody has the grace within them to be in that wonderful mentoring role that is portrayed by the Father. I'm still too young to experience that with a child. And the little bit of work that I've done with others, this mentoring relationship is so valuable and so precious as you develop that connection with another person and as you realize that another person is figuring out what lenses to see the world through by their interactions with you. It's a humbling realization. And an interesting pattern as we look to the characters in this parable, that we realize that nobody gets it right all of the time. But because we don't get it right, we can then look at the world through a different lens and have this grace in which to interpret. And we have the assurance that because of this grace, there's always something to look to. And there's always the strength that we find in our faith and with our Christian identity that brings us back to the grace and assurance that there is always someone to look to and always someone holding our hand through the way.